This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
At 119, hi there, it's Al Mitchell, Low Tide. And Mark joined. Mark, I got to ask you a question. You look very spiffy
in your
Springfield jersey.
Springfield Falcons, yes.
Looks good. It's a tourney, right?
Yes, it is.
And the Oilers patch on the side.
Yep, and the claws right there on the arm, too.
So you, like, are the fashion guy here. You're the...
Well, I try. Corey Graham always compliments my T-shirts, so...
Well, you know, for those of you who have never been in a radio station, if you're wearing something that doesn't look like you rolled out of bed, you're a fashion statement and a radio station. What do you think of the new duds for the Oilers? Did you see the jersey yesterday?
I did. I really, really like them. Anytime there's a new jersey unveiled, I'm always a big fan. But I loved the old retros when they brought them back a few years ago, and I love the way that the white was popping out there on stage last night.
Yeah, it looked good. For old-timey guys like me, it takes us back. And then for you guys, you probably never saw that many jerseys like that.
A lot of the older people assume those jerseys with like Gretzky's and Messier's, but I was born in 89, so those are the Shane Corson years. And the
Born in 89.
Yes, sorry.
I don't think we can talk anymore.
Oh, sorry, man.
We have nothing in common. Okay, we're going to get back to the draft now. 20 after 1, we have some tape that Dusty sent to us, and we really appreciate it because this is the first blush we've had to find out exactly what the organization is thinking. And we'll begin with Steve Tambellini.
You see what you guys have accomplished in the last 2 days. Are you happy with it?
Oh, yeah. To look at the list, I guess, and then see the, first of all, I mean, the skill level and vision of a Ryan Nugent Hopkins, and to really start thinking about, like last night, you know, what's that going to look like the next few years whenever he plays, playing with Taylor or Jordan or Magnus. I mean, that's pretty exciting to be able to think about those type of things and what it's going to look like. He met Taylor yesterday and had a good discussion, and Taylor said, you know, that's not bad. That guy passed me the puck for a few years, is it? And I said, no, it's pretty good. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the fact that we really built on our depth of defensemen. Size for sure. People that can play against speed. People that can play against heavy players. We've got depth on a power play position as a Dylan Simpson that, you know, eventually will develop into that guy that can run a power play. He's going to get a chance with Team Canada this year. Some skill with Ryder. A couple goaltenders depth that our goaltender coach Freddie Chabot was very excited about, and Matti Vermanen, our pro scout in Finland that we just hired. So we feel like we've really accomplished some definite depth. Wonderful player with Ryan, and we filled some major spots.
Did you have anything more on Smitty? Is it done, or are we still dragging on?
Yeah, I don't. Matty, I just don't have anything.
No, we're still dragging on.
Yeah, it's still out there.
Resolution.
No.
Kevin said hopefully it's going to get done in the next little while, or not today, but certainly.
Yeah. I wish I could give you something new right now, but I honestly don't have anything.
Did you have any offers for 31?
Yes.
And did you like Musial enough that you didn't hear enough to say, okay, I'll move it?
Well, my philosophy of trading down is if there are players there that you really want, I stress quality, not quantity. And if we were really, we were focused on obviously our defense this year, major focus. And David's sitting there, we know what he's all about. He's a big man that's had great international experience. We think we know what he's going to look like by the time he's 22, 23 years old. We weren't going to go buy that pick.
Obviously, Florida's trying to get up to the floor. Did you offer them Sheldon Surrey?
I've had discussions with most teams. I haven't been able to do anything at this time. So I don't have anything new there from that standpoint.
Kind of moving forward from the draft, Steve, you'd mentioned this week you got to make some decisions as far as RFAs and stuff like that. Do you expect to bring some guys back, and do you also expect maybe that some will be coming back?
Well, we can't bring everyone back at this point. So we're going to have to make a few decisions on some people. But we're going to go through that again now with our scouts and coaching staff, and one kind of last run through our roster. Yeah, we got some work to do.
Could you comment at all on the supposed, if there's a health concern at all? Does Gilbert Brulé have an injury at this point that you're aware of?
No, I'm not discussing it like that. There's not. He's been cleared to play for a long time.
You get Musial and Simpson. How much does it factor in that their fathers are former Oilers? Like, if you're looking at your list and they're right up against another player who's very similar, how much does that factor in that he has been a family that's a part of your organization?
Well, not just the organization. I mean, that's special and unique to the Oilers, but just the fact that there's the bloodlines there that understand the culture, the pressure, what it takes, that sometimes these young guys don't even know what the knowledge they have until you see the way they react to different situations. They just sort of know. And that is also what we consider an asset, no question.
You were a father who had a son get drafted before, but not to your organization. Did you have any conversations with those three guys as far as just kind of how to go through it? Frank said it was a lot harder than he expected it to be.
That's an understatement for Frank. Frank said, I don't think I ever want to go through that ever again. So I know how emotional he was, and I know Kevin and Karen were so proud of Keegan being drafted by Carolina. And Dylan with the Christine and Craig being here, so that's another fantastic story. But I think people underestimate not just the pressure on the young man, but just the emotion and pressure of that's felt for their child as a parent. So it's a big day. It's a huge day. I'm sure they feel like the weight of the world is off their shoulders, regardless of what Kevin and Craig and Frank have done as an athlete. It's totally different. So I could see big smiles on their faces. It was nice to see.
Kevin admitted that Keegan kind of said he had asked not to get drafted by you guys. Did you have a conversation with Dylan and David to see if that would be a concern for them at all?
Well, I remember the same situation in Vancouver. And, my wife was maybe thinking differently, but I'm thinking, if you bring your son immediately into the organization, it can work. But think about the pressure that's on the young player. The young player, regardless if he does everything right. And I was just, I was so happy to see a team step up the way Jimmy did with Carolina. And they recognized with Keegan, that kid is competitive. He's gotten a lot bigger in a short period of time, and he's going to be a great pro. But I love the fact that that he's able to kind of establish himself on his own two feet. I think it's good.
You're going to be ready to go through it in 2 years with your next kid?
I'm going to leave that alone for a couple of years for sure. Yeah, leave that to his mom right now.
With Perhonen and then Buns and Olivier Waugh the last 3 years, are you pretty confident that you've got a number one goaltender somewhere in there?
Yeah, well, our people were so, they were really excited about Perhonen. We knew if we wanted him, we'd have to take him a little bit earlier maybe than what people thought. The two tournaments prior to the under 18 where the team struggled a little bit maybe knocked him a touch, but if you look at his whole career and where he's come from with that type of size and that technical base that he has already, he has a chance to be a very good goaltender.
Steve Tambellini, and that was an actuality from not too terribly long ago. We heard Dusty in there, Jason Greger, I think Speck was in there. A question I believe Spector asked that I wanted to touch on there when they were talking about Gilbert Brulé, and Steve Tambellini said, I want to talk about it. He's been cleared to play for a long time now. And that was via the concussion. Because I wanted to bring attention to that quote, because there's an article up on TSN right now, courtesy Darren Dreger, about Smith's return to Edmonton hinging on the health of Brulé. And I'll just read it here. Ryan Smith's return to Edmonton is on hold for now. The original agreement included the veteran Smith going to the Oilers in return for Gilbert Brulé and a fourth-round draft pick. Now, I assume that was this year's, the one that went today. It could still get done, but the Kings' concerns over Brulé's health are too significant to close the deal at this point. Sources say the Kings were willing to accept Brulé as part of the deal with the intent of buying him out. However, the collective bargaining agreement forbids teams from buying out an injured player. Long after the conclusion of first round of the entry draft on Friday night, representatives from LA, Edmonton, and the NHL engaged in a group discussion in an attempt to salvage the trade, but were unsuccessful. In a deal between the Oilers and Kings, if it's going to be reached, that would see the return of Smith to Edmonton, it's likely Brulé would need to be removed from the negotiation. Sources say Sheldon Surrey's name was included in the discussion. However, the Kings, at least for the moment, are not believed to be interested, which makes sense because the buyout is obviously larger. Brulé, because of his age, is a lower buyout, and obviously he's making less money than Brulé. So that's what you have on the Ryan Smith front, which is, you know, it's no matter how hard they try to make these trades work and, like, we'll have absolutely no gray area, there's always gray area. And Steve Tamblyn, he said, look, he's been cleared to play. The Kings are saying, no, we can't buy him out. We don't know what the player and the agent side are saying, but we can assume and understand. I know so little about this, I shouldn't be talking about it. We might be able to assume that the player and agent are saying, wait a minute, this is an issue. And, you know, the NHLPA would be involved, and then you've got a situation where, you know, we are here. And so that's something that is unlikely to be solved certainly today, and it will probably take a little while to come to a conclusion, and possibly would need some retooling. So suspect it's going to be a little while. We'll probably be talking about it next week. That's how things work. Anyway, we move on to the draft again, and this time we're going to hear from Stu McGregor and what he thought of the draft.
Well, I guess we'll just start from UCL first of all. What'd you like about him?
Oh, he's a big guy with great hockey sense, competes really hard, a player that, you know, just makes the intelligent, smart plays out of his own zone, follows the play up with good instincts, good off the offensive blue line, just great, great stick defending, strong, just adds size to our D.
Was he in the mix at 19?
Yes, he was. We had both those players right close together in our on our list.
Frank admitted that it was a lot harder than he thought it would be going through that whole process of having his son involved. How was it from your standpoint?
Frank thought it was hard. It was real hard on us, too. It was an interesting year just having three members of our staff had boys that are eligible for the draft, and Kevin Lowe and Frank Musil and Scotty Harlow had his boy was eligible this year as well for the first time. So it was difficult in lots of ways, but they each stepped out of the meeting when we needed to discuss that type of player, and any time there was any controversy, they were gone. And Frank wasn't even allowed to come to our meeting last night, so he didn't know what was happening this morning until we made the pick.
Do you think Samu Perhonen has maybe the potential to be the best goaltender to come out of this draft?
Well, I saw Samu Perhonen early in November, and that was his first opportunity to ever play at the national team level for Finland. And he, to me, one November, February, I'm coming out of there saying, boy, this guy could be very special. He did have a more difficult under 18 championship, but could have been just wear and tear. He hadn't played that number of games that he played this past season. You know, just a real tall, skinny guy still, and he's got a long ways to develop physically. So, yeah, I think he's got a tremendous potential.
He said he wants to play in Finland for one more year and then come over. Would that kind of be your plan as well?
I would let Steve and the development guys decide on those types of things, but we're just excited he'd like to come over and play.
Is he comparable to Pekka Rinne? He kind of talked about his Finnish counterparts.
Well, I don't know. I never saw Pekka Rinne at that same age. He's a Finnish product. He is the Finnish product. And so he's a great goaltender. If he turns out to be as good as him, I'll be just thrilled.
Iwanek,
gritty edge to his play, competes extremely hard, has good hockey sense, knows how to fill a role. He did a great job at the under 18 tournament doing that. The thing that really impressed me with him, especially at the 18 tournament and in the playoffs, is that this guy will dive in front of the puck. He'll get the puck out of his zone in the last couple minutes, the last minute, or whenever there's penalty kills. He just does those things that need to be done to help you win.
Would you ask a guy like Nugent Hopkins at some point his thoughts on him, because he kind of played a head-to-head against him?
Well, you know, players are players. They respect each other. I don't like to put the players in that type of position. I know Nugent Hopkins appreciates what he brings, and I know that Travis appreciates what Ryan brings. So, you know, I just think they could be hopefully one day real great teammates.
How much did you get to watch that Gernat kid, and what can you tell us about him?
Watch Gernat a lot. I've seen him at three tournaments. Big guy, skates extremely well, 6'4", still quite slim, passes the puck very well. Really kind of excited about what he might be able to bring.
Is he someone that you look at maybe going to the Western Hockey League, or is he planning on staying over there?
No, he's his agent has told us right before the draft that he wants to come over and play in the CHL. So if it's the Western Hockey League, that'd be great. But the CHL would be great as well.
How much does that factor into the fact that you took him when they tell you right before that he's willing to come over?
Well, it's good. You know, it certainly has worked for us with Martin Marincin. So if it works as well again, then it'd be fabulous.
Stu McGregor talking about the draft today. I thought it was very interesting. Again, we find a little bit about Martin Gernat. I think he's a player that, even though he was picked at 122, when we begin to suss out this draft, we're going to be, you know, in our own minds anyway, moving him up a little bit on the depth chart just because he seems to be a sort of a lightning rod prospect because of his size and possibly his, you know, upside. I hate to use that word all the time, but his ability to play at a high level and the fact that he's not physically mature. Sure. Also interesting about the goaltenders, the kid Perhonen, pick at 62. Lots of information over the last half hour talking about, you know, there's a comparison to Kiprusoff. You know, obviously that's down the road. But Matt Bug mentioned that, you know, if he can get his mechanics straightened out, there's a great toolkit there, as they say, with Samu Perhonen. So it looks like, you know, it's a very typical draft in a couple of ways. And I wanted to mention that before we take a break. Stu McGregor, since 2008, the top of the draft, and I include Eberle, Pajarvi, Svensson at the time, Taylor Hall, and obviously Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, but also with the other players in the second round as well. And I'll include Anton Lander and Marincin and Pitlick and Curtis Hamilton, and then today David Musil, and obviously the first rounder yesterday, or the defenseman as well. The Klefbom, there's a sense that at the top of the draft, maybe the first 60 picks, if they're picking in there, they play by the rules. These are ultimately kids who attended the NHL Combine. They've had an opportunity to look at them. They are the guys that they absolutely have to score big on. And I say score big, the average second-round pick, if he plays 200 NHL games, which is basically three seasons as a regular, that's considered a success. That's what we're dealing with the National Hockey League draft. And then after that, beginning in the third round, and I'll include Cameron Abney and Troy Hesketh, and today this young Perhonen fellow and Travis Iwanek, all of those guys, they are either role players or absolute, you know, high-risk selections. And I think that's what the Edmonton Oilers are doing now. It's not like they won't go off the board. It's not like they won't draft a Perhonen, but they won't do it in the Musil area, and I think it's paying dividends. It looks to me like the Edmonton Oilers absolutely went in today and said, we want to strengthen up the middle. Center, defense and goaltending with Nugent Hopkins, and then Iwanek. They've done something with center. Defensively, they did, you know, a lot. There's we could list them off. Klefbom, Musil. We saw Dylan Simpson today, Martin Gernat. That's a group of players. Not all of them will develop, but at some point you add them into the situation, and with Marincin and the other kids coming along, it looks like the one thing the Edmonton Oilers can thank Kevin Prendergast for, I believe, is that some of these defensemen are developing. You know, I'll include Theo Pekham in that, Jeff Petrie. These are kids who look like they can play in the National Hockey League and buy some time for the team to add some depth and have an opportunity to be really strong in that area along the blue line, and it's been years since the Edmonton Oilers had this kind of attention to the blue line. So we will take a break and be back with more on Nation Radio right after this.